Application Academy is closing if you are applying to medical school in 2024 to start in 2025. We are closing in mid-April, April 12th or 13th, somewhere around there, somewhere in mid-April. We're closing our door. It's time for you to get in to Application Academy to get the support you need to put together your story so that you aren't one of those students that end up rejected because you didn't know how to tell your story. Come join us at applicationacademy.com. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. Use the promo code podcast for a little extra discount. I'll see you soon at applicationacademy.com. The pre-med path can be super confusing. If you'd love some help on your path or on your applications, use the promo code PMY for pre-med years, PMY, over at medicalschoolhq.net and get some help from some of our experts, former directors of admissions, admissions officers, other experts. We have a small team ready to help you today. Again, that's promo code PMY to get a discount on our services at medicalschoolhq.net. If you're applying to medical school in 2022 to start medical school in 2023, join me Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern or Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern at premedworkshop.com. Go register today. I'm going to show you how to tell your story in your application. Again, that's premedworkshop.com. If you are applying to medical school in 2022, be there or be square. The Medical School HQ Podcast, session number 24. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ryan Gray, with you for another session of the Medical School HQ Podcast, the podcast about medical school, where we take you through the pre-med process, medical school, and even through residency. We're here to take your knowledge of becoming a physician to the next level. Today, I have an awesome interview with Bowtie Ben, and I'll explain, and he'll explain why he has that nickname, Bowtie Ben, during the interview. Ben is a fourth-year medical student as of the recording. He's on to bigger and better. He'll graduate from medical school here pretty soon and go into his residency, and he'll explain all that during the interview. Before we get started, I want to remind you that the podcast doesn't end our communication. I want you guys to interact. We want to know what you guys are thinking about the podcast and about the interview. We've been hearing some great stuff. We want to keep getting some great information from you. We want to keep hearing what you think. There are three ways to do that. You can follow us on Twitter at Medical School HQ, and you can send us some tweets about anything you want to hear about. You can email us feedback@medicalschoolhq.net, or you can go to the show notes for this session and leave a comment. And the show notes you can always get at medicalschoolhq.net/session24. So any of our sessions, you just type in the session number at the end and you can go to our show notes and leave a comment. One thing that I've been doing recently on most of the podcasts is thanking the people that are leaving reviews in iTunes. And you can leave a review for us. If you find this information useful, we would greatly appreciate it if you would go into iTunes and leave us a review and a rating. 5 stars would be awesome if you think we deserve it. The way iTunes works is they will rank us higher and more people will be able to see us and download our show, and we can spread the pre-med love and the med school love to as many people as we can. So we had 2 new 5-star reviews this week. One was from Jim in Virginia. He said, most excellent background for anyone interested in the medical field. And the other one was from HChun301. He said, excellent and informative. He or she said, excellent and informative, both for pre-meds and med students. So thank you to those two people for leaving feedback. You can leave feedback by going to medicalschoolhq.net/iTunes, and that'll bring you right into the iTunes interface to click and leave some feedback for us. So let's get to the interview. And I want to just give you a reference on why I invited Ben Acevedo onto the show. And it's because he's a medical student who runs a bow tie business. And one of the things that we always try to preach here is the fact that you need something outside of school, outside of medical school, outside of pre-med, outside of residency, to give yourself a break. We need a break as humans. We can't be on 100% of the time. So you need something to distract you and to refresh so that you can hit it hard when you go back. So I wanted to talk to Ben and find out from him if he thought having his bow tie business has helped him during medical school, and he'll answer that question during the show. But to start, we talked about when he actually decided he wanted to become a physician.
I actually decided pretty late. I went into college very undecided. I've always been a person who's really interested in many, many things and diversely active in a lot of different areas. So I went to school at University of California, Berkeley for college, and I was really involved with a lot of great things, including marching in the Cal band and being one of the yell leaders for the football game, basketball games, and was really into sort of a lot of the Go Bears spirit stuff. A lot of fun. Had a good time living in the dorms. I was sort of a peripheral part of the Greek life there, and then just enjoyed a lot of the classes I took, including especially anatomy. So that kind of got me interested. I followed one of my professors, Dr. Marion Diamond, into her neuroanatomy class, and really enjoyed that. And so it was kind of opened up my eyes to this world of medicine, and just thinking ahead into what it would be like to be a doctor. I knew that I liked working with people. I liked doing sort of service work and being able to volunteer, and I liked traveling. And so I knew that being a physician could get me in touch with all those things. And then I was also a really big science geek. So just geeking out on all the physiology and anatomy and things like that was always fun. So it seemed like a good fit for me. I actually didn't go directly to medical school, though, after college. I took 3 years off to travel and apply, and then once I got in, I actually deferred another year.
That's almost exactly my story. I took 3 years off, applied, got in, and deferred another year.
Oh, cool.
So you said you started late. When was that whole neuroanatomy time in your undergrad experience?
I finally declared biology as my major in my second semester of my junior year. So I didn't, I didn't really like saying that I was a pre-med just because of the rap that pre-meds got, I think, in my classes. So I think that I kind of kept that to myself, but I enjoyed the science of it. And I think I was sort of quietly in my head thought that being a doctor would be fun. I didn't take the MCAT, for instance, until after I graduated from college. I took it that summer. That was when we were still doing handwritten tests. So I took it then, and then the week after that, I left for Cambodia to do a year of work and service and travel.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for other students that might be listening that are kind of later in their college life and are now thinking, oh my God, I want to be a doctor, and now it's too late. I missed all these classes, and I'm totally off on the timeline.
Yeah.
What did you do to figure out exactly what you needed to do in the timeline starting as late as you started?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll say that having come to med school now, I realized that I was probably maybe even on the early end of things now that I look at it. So there's a lot of my classmates that you know, graduated in something completely different than science, and went back and did a postgraduate, post-baccalaureate program, or other ways of, you know, doing pre-med courses and getting in, and are older than me, graduating from med school. So so I think even now that I'm experiencing it, I'm realizing I wasn't actually that late per se. But I think for me, you know, what was lucky was that I was doing biology as a major. So I had a lot of pre-med prerequisites there. And because I had been thinking about being a physician, you know, for a while, I had just gone ahead and taken those biology classes that were going to, you know, also fulfill a pre-med requirement. So I wasn't what you'd call like a hardcore pre-med coming into college, or coming into even my junior year of college. But I had sort of made sure I kind of covered my bases on those things. So maybe as far as, you know, people who are looking at, you know, they're a junior or senior in college and thinking they might want to get into medicine, I think, you know, pursue some of the classes that you can in college if you can still get into that. But also there's just a ton of people that decide to go into that later. And there's a bunch of really amazing programs set up for that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm not the expert in that, but probably along on your blog, you can probably find a lot of that good information.
Yeah, a lot of the post-bac stuff. So that's interesting. Okay, so you took the MCAT and then you left. And you did some work, some volunteering, mission type stuff, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was actually through that same professor who, Marion Diamond, who had started a program in Cambodia for children who were living at a local orphanage in Siem Reap, Cambodia. And so I kind of used her connections to get over there, and I volunteered at a children's hospital in that town, and worked with her program, the boys and girls that she was educating out there, and just spent about 6 months out there living there and kind of exploring, and then liked it so much I decided to extend my stay for another 6 months and traveled, sort of backpacked around through Southeast Asia for the rest of the year.
That sounds rough.
Yeah, it was the exact life of a 23-year-old that I could imagine I'd want to have.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Okay. And all along when you're doing this stuff, you knew in the back of your mind that going back into medical school was in your future?
Well, I was kind of leaving that up to the MCAT to decide for me. I got that about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months into working in Cambodia, and it was a respectable grade, so a respectable score. So I knew I could get in if I wanted to. So then that's when I started to turn the wheels on when I should apply.
Okay. What did you think about the application process, especially being somebody that was out of school at that point?
Yeah. So the application process, I would say, it was a pretty big bear. I mean, just getting the first application in, I remember being in Bali, actually. It was the end of my trip, and I was about to fly back home, and it was getting close to, was it June, I think, is when we do those?
Yep.
The primary application. So I was writing my personal statement. So it was like, that was like the big thing I wanted to get done while I was in Bali. So my schedule in Bali would be like, wake up, like go jump in the ocean, surf a little bit, maybe like have breakfast, and then go to the local McDonald's and sit down with my small keyboard that I took while traveling and my Palm Pilot and like tap out my personal statement.
Wow.
yeah. And then, you know, party in the evening with my friends. So that was kind of cool. And I got it all. I think once I got back to the States, I got it all put together and put in, which I thought was, you know, great and almost done. But those secondaries are, at least at the time, I'm not sure how it is right now, but they were very intense. So I kind of almost felt like it was I think I was doing some like tutoring as a part-time job, and I was living at home, and also I think like trying to learn how to lift weights and work out, like just sort of working on personal stuff during that year. And I kind of say, when I tell the story of, like, you know, my years between college and med school, it's like that year I feel like was dedicated to applying to med school.
That's true. It's a job in of itself.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the way I remember it anyways. It just took so much time and so much work. So, and, you know, just even flying out to interviews and stuff like that takes a lot.
Okay. Yeah. How did you choose what medical schools you applied to and wanted to go to?
Well, I knew I wanted to go to places where there was – I wanted to go to a city. I really love culture. Ever since my family moved to France for a year when I was 7, and I learned a whole new culture and language there, and I've just always been into traveling Europe and Asia then. I just really wanted someplace that was really interesting culturally. So, and cities are, you know, kind of fascinating to me, and they always have a lot of great culture. So I kind of narrowed it down to a few cities that I wanted to apply to and live in. I also wanted to make sure that where I was going was a place that, you know, had a need for service and where I could sort of get my hands dirty with volunteer work, which I enjoy. And what were the other requirements that I had for places where I applied? I think that was mainly, I was focused on where I was going to live and kind of what the environment was going to be like.
Okay.
So that brought me to New Orleans. Definitely fit the bill on that. Very interesting cultural city and a lot of need. It was right after I was applying. Pretty soon after Katrina, it was about a year and a half after Katrina. So I knew there was going to be plenty of things to get to work on and things to help out with. So that's what kind of drew me here.
Did that worry you that it was so close to Katrina and the kind of infrastructure of the school and if they were able to support medical students at that time or possibly another hurricane coming through? Did that worry you at all?
Yeah. I mean, I think that when I first heard of my friend deciding to go there, she went there, I think the year before I was applying to go. And I was like, oh my God, like really, are they even back up and running and things? So, but I kept in touch with her and she seemed to be very confident with it. And I felt like I'm always kind of the person where it's like, hey, you know, let me help out. Let me see what's going on. I like to get, you know, get busy with, you know, improving things. So I felt like it would be even fun to try to get things back on its feet. And it has proven to be interesting to see what are the things that have been slow to come back to this med school. And I've actually been able to help out with part of that as a significant portion of my research and kind of my mission at the school during my med school years. So that's been really, really fun. So I think that I was a little concerned about it, but in having talked to people that were going there and coming out to interview here, it seemed even more like the place I should be at.
Okay. And you ended up there. So
I did, yeah. So, I mean, I was looking at a few other, you know, I was looking at other big cities like D.C. and New York, and then I applied to the University of California schools as well. So there were some other options on my brain, but this was the one that worked out for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it like for you, having taken so much time off, coming into the medical school curriculum where it's sink or swim?
Yeah, that was big. I think it was tough. I think it had been a while since I had done some studying, some serious studying like that. So it was a little bit weird, but you know, I came in so fired up. I was so excited to get back into med school and get to, you know, this is something that I feel like after you've gone through that application process, you've done the MCAT and all that stuff, and you're just ready to get in there and work. And I was ready to work my ass off when I got here. So I was really excited about it, and that helped me a ton. And I think, you know, if I have one piece of advice to, you know, incoming first year students, is to like just use that energy, because every student has it. I mean, every student who applies and gets into med school, you know, wants to save the world, and that's all we really look for on your medical school application, is do you write that on there? And you do, then, you know, then you're a candidate, and you come in with that fire and energy, and it's awesome. I mean, it can really take you a long way. So, and it did for me. So I think it's difficult to just ignore some of the more jaded, you know, second, third year students sometimes, and just and not let that affect you. But I was fired up.
Yeah. So that brings us into kind of surviving med school, and you have a nickname, Bowtie Ben.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck did you get involved with bow ties?
Well, the bow ties, when I first moved to New Orleans, this was the first time I'd seen real, like, actual tie-it-yourself bow ties. And I'd worn a clip-on bow tie, actually, in the Cal band in college. That's part of our uniform. But, you know, coming down to the South and seeing these beautiful bow ties that people could tie up and then, you know, loosen at the end of the day, it was like, wow, that's really fascinating, and I'd never seen one before. So at the same time, as I was trying to like learn some of the cultural things about New Orleans and getting to go to some of these white tie Mardi Gras balls that they have down here, and it's just an amazing place New Orleans is, just trying to get to see this stuff, I felt like, you know, I wanted to dive right into the culture and get the feeling what it was like. And part of that was the bow ties, which I was fascinated by. And at the same time, I was also feeling really a little bit one-sided. I have always been into doing art and doing creative things in my life, you know, whether it's artistic, you know, drawing or painting, or when I was in high school, I used to make longboard skateboards out of plywood, and, you know, make them for my friends, and you know, just get creative with stuff like that. I always loved the wood shop and things. So, but I was, when I dove into med school, there was nothing like that in my life. I think I had kind of decided, okay, this is med school. It's time to really focus on my science here. And at the cost of, you know, my right brain activity, which is what I call it, you know, sort of the creative stuff. So I really needed something to work on. And it happened that I had some time at home, and my mother had taught me to sew when I was a kid. So she's a great quilter and sewer. So I busted out one of her sewing machines and pulled out a silk that I had bought in Thailand when I was traveling there, that I hadn't really figured out what I was going to use it for, but I pulled it out and decided I was going to make a bow tie. And so I made one, and that was how it all got started.
Do you think that the art that you're creating, the kind of time away from studying in med school, do you think that's helped you through med school?
Absolutely. I think it's just been a way for me to put, for one thing, activate a different part of my brain, which I really think is vital for me. Second of all, to put some things in perspective, you know, that if I want to make bow ties and, you know, do something creative, then it allows me to pull myself out of this, you know, studying, stressful environment that I've put myself into in med school, and to see a lighter, different side of life. And so, you know, it's sometimes it's just cathartic to just come home and, you know, cut up fabric and sew. And then third, I think what's been great is that I've been able to meet a bunch of different types of people through the bow ties that I would ever meet in just being involved in medical school or, you know, the medical side of things here in New Orleans. So New Orleans has this wonderful fashion, creative group of people. I mean, it's always been a very artistic city. And now there's a really great push of phenomenally talented young talent in the fashion world. So getting to meet those people and getting them to influence my life and being able to, you know, pull myself out of medical school and the medical world for even a moment in the evenings when I'm working on these ties has been just really relaxing.
Okay. And you don't do the ties just for yourself. You actually run a business with them.
Right. So it all started as just me making one tie for myself, and then a friend liked it and said I should make a few more. And then I started to wear them and people wanted to buy them. And so I started to make more and more and go shopping for fabric. And that was a lot of fun. And so I just kept that up, and it was sort of a word of mouth little hobby that supported itself all the way up until about a year and a half ago or so, when I decided to turn it into a business.
Okay. What are your future plans with the business?
Well, I'm working on that, Ryan. Right now, I'm sort of trying to figure out what's the best thing for it. I know that I can't keep doing, you know, being as involved as I am with it now. Once I start residency, I think that I've always looked at residency as a place where I'll really, really be able to learn hands-on, and that's where it's going to be a big, steep learning curve, and I'm going to need to really, you know, focus. So, you know, as much as I will probably continue to do art and maybe even make bow ties myself, the running the business, which has been an extremely great learning experience for me, has to kind of take a back seat. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, how I can encapsulate it and either hire someone to manage it for a while or get somebody to sort of buy in and be a managing partner. You know, the other option is to sell it or to close it. So I'm still deciding on that.
Cool. All right. So it's not like it. Well, maybe it's not like, maybe it is. Did you ever have a thought of, maybe I'll put the medicine on hold and see where the bow ties take me?
Well, I think a lot of people love to think about, you know, that option. But I've never felt like that was where I was going with this. I mean, you know, the business, which is called New Orleans Bow Ties, was inspired by the city of New Orleans and the creative and exciting things that go on here. So it's always been kind of my artwork, my dedication to the city, and then also has allowed me to activate my right brain, be creative, and learn a ton about things that I would have never been exposed to in medical school, like marketing, branding, you know, accounting, just a lot of the things that are required to run a small business. So those things have all just been, it's been sort of a means to, of learning a lot of these things that I didn't have access to. And I've really appreciated that. But when it comes down to it, I'm not a fashion person. I'm not somebody who's really dedicated to creating a brand like Ralph Lauren, you know. I'm really focused on public health, medicine, and I think this is a great way to connect with people and, you know, be, you know, provide myself with some interesting things to work on. But really medicine is my true passion. So I think that, you know, it's probably time for me to really focus on that now. You know, but I think a lot of people, like you just said, have been like, well, you know, there's a lot of people doing medicine, but bow ties, you know, like nobody's doing that.
Yeah. What's your future for a residency?
I'm headed to Scripps Clinic Green Hospital in La Jolla.
Okay.
I'll be doing internal medicine.
La Jolla, California.
Yeah, La Jolla, California. California is pulling me back.
Nice. All right. Where can people find you online?
They can find me at neworleansbowties.com, www.neworleansbowties.com. My Twitter is at Ben Azevedo or at Nola Bowties, N-O-L-A, Bowties.
All right. So that was Ben Acevedo, also known as Bowtie Ben. Again, everything that we talked about, including all the links to find him on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, those are all in the show notes, which you can get at medicalschoolhq.net/session24. And as Ben answered in the interview, he found it very helpful to have something outside of med school to expand his horizons personally and intellectually, and kind of helped him through medical school. So hopefully you guys can find something that you're interested in, have a hobby, go out and exercise a lot, do something to get your mind away from school for a little bit, and I think you'll all benefit from it. That wraps up another week here at the Medical School HQ. I hope the information provided today will better help guide you on your path to becoming a physician. We'll see you at the next podcast. Until then, go check out the website, medicalschoolhq.net.